with part of the Bible from the Old Testament. I think it's not easy to read alone, so we will read it together. It's very much related to the Christian marriage, but it's in Malachi. Malachi is the last prophet presented to the Jews like 350 years before Christ. And he was the one before John the Baptist. In the order of prophets, he is just the last one before John the Baptist and before Christ. So we will read the second chapter in Malachi under the title of Seeking a Godly Offspring. Let's see what's God's plan in our marriage and what is the relation of having kids or offspring with the plan of God for marriage. I read it first, it's not easy, but we will explain part by part. Have we not all one father? Here, our Lord was blaming his people on their trespasses through his prophet Malachi. Malachi, by the way, the word means Malachi. Malachi is my angel. So it's the same, very much related to the Arabic. Have we not all one father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. So it's clear that God is against marriage with any other one who worshipping other gods. And Judah, the people of Israel at that time, were starting to worship other gods beside their real God. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware. This is God. Being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts? And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offspring anymore, nor receive it with good will from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make you or them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel say that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence. They, the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Okay, let's go sentence by sentence. The first one, have we not all one father? What is the relation of this to our story of being married one to another? Have we not all one father? Has not one God created us? Remember what Sayyidina was saying yesterday? The start of the real Christian marriage is to find out what you belong to. The idea of belonging to God is the start for any successful Christian marriage. You belong to God, so you should follow his rules. You belong to God, and your wife belongs too to God. He is your father, and he is her father. So you can never insult her. You are insulting her father. You can never push her away. He is her father too. So another point. Have we not all one father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the father? So any kind of sin means simply that you forget that when you sin against anybody, any person, you are sinning against God because He is His Father. He is the Creator. So you are destroying the relation with God by sinning towards any man specifically, and especially those who are intimate to you. So this sentence will revise with us some major ideas that we have an equal value. There is only one God Father for both of us and only one Creator for both of us. She is the best creation God ever did, and she is her daughter, His daughter. So when you think of your wife this way, you should respect her. And if you think always that your husband is the gift of God, you should respect him all your life. Second, strong respect. And the third, marriage is God's gift. Marriage is really a God gift. The second point, why do we deal treacherously? Why do we deal treacherously? We're saying an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. First of all, man and with his brother. Let me put it this way. You are proposing to the girl, but actually you will deal with her father, physical one, to be your father-in-law, maybe with her father in confession too. So you are dealing with a man like you. You are agreeing on many things. You have covenant, kind of agreement together. So if you hurt his child, if you are not honest with the girl, how about the relation with her father? Her father God, her father spiritual father, her real father. So it's kind of treacherously you sinned against a man, not only the woman. You should consider the relation with the family, with those who you started to agree with, to put the rules with. Also, this kind of dealing treacherously is between man and his brother, man with his Lord, and man with his wife. The major problem here that he has married the daughter of a foreign god. This is really very, very aggressive sin towards God. Because when you commit yourself to anybody who is not committed to God, as if you are worshipping her or his god. In the eyes of God, if you unite with anybody who worships any other God, then you left your God. It had no other meaning in our Lord's eyes. So that's why he put it, beware. Take care, beware. This is a great sin. And also run away. Run away from any start of relation to any kind of man or woman who has no real relation with your God. You have to avoid this relation from the early beginning. And return back to the membership of the church and take one off from his hands, not away from him. He does not regard the offering anymore. This is another problem. That because of the bad relation between people of Israel and those who do not worship God, they started not to care much for the offering. With the introduction of anybody who is not a believer, you can never keep the same relation with God. Surely you will get away from the relation. So they do not care anymore for their relation or their offering to God. He was saying, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who did this, being awake and aware. God is always awake and He is aware. Yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts? And this is the second thing you do. They do not only sin towards God or put some bad offering, but moreover they want to cover what they did of sins by crying before the altar, by trying to show tears as if they are repenting. But they did not leave those who are living with them away from God. You understand this point? This is not a real repentance, because they show repentance by emotions, by tears, but they did not take an action. They should leave such a person because he had no relation with God. He will take them away from God. So it's kind of a relationship against another. If you have God in one hand, you will have the relationship in the other hand. Also, God said, covering one's garment with violence, which means that you try to make the sin very simple, or to show to yourself and to the people around you as if you did not do any bad thing. Why not? So marriage brings you closer to God or separates you from God. This is a golden rule. Marriage either push you to the kingdom of heaven or push you away from the kingdom of heaven. That's why it's a very serious choice in your life. Push you towards or away from the kingdom of God. Then in this passage he said, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness. They were asking why God is not looking at our offering. Why He is not accepting our prayer? Because they pray with cries, they pray with tears. But he said, "For because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth." This is a very nice statement. God is responsible for our marriage. He was witnessing this marriage, this relation. So if you behave in a illoyal to loyalty to your partner, God is out of the story. You are breaking the relationship with God. With whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. This is a very nice statement, because here it's a covenant. So there is a stamp of God on this relation. Our marital relation, our weddings, it's not the agreement of two. There is a third party who is the most important one. He is God in this relation. He stamped, He signed it. So if you break the relation with your wife, you should break the relation with the one who witnessed this agreement, who stamped it. And He is observing the relation all the time. He will observe you. How would you deal with your wife all over your life? How would she respect you all over her life? That's why God's word is the base of marriage, because He is the one who started the relation. Also, the Bible said, she is your companion. It's a nice term. She is your company. So she will share you everything. Good minutes and bad hours. She will share you everything. And you should be frank enough to let her share everything. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. This is important to mention here, that the married couples should live as friends, companion, stands for kind of friendship. I guess the best couple ever seen, who they spend the whole life up to 100 years as friends. They enjoy talking to each other. They enjoy walking together. They enjoy thinking together. They enjoy empathizing together. So they are friends. They are not only husband and wife. Also, the married couple's union is very clear here that God will secure this relation, and also you complete your wife and she completes you. Another term, the wife of your youth and covenant. Why it's the wife of your youth? You know, many men after some time, as if he blamed himself, why I choose this girl? When problems come, when she is not very good in his eyes, I was stupid. No, you were not stupid. You were very wise at that time, but you were in love. You lost love. That's the problem. So you cannot love her anymore because of you. Your relation with God is not steady, and even if she is weak nowadays, she's still your partner, she's still your companion, she's still your wife of your youth. So don't look at her because she's getting old, she is sick. No, she is the one you chose when you were young, and she is the one you agreed to live all the life with her. She is the one you commit yourself to her. She is the one you promised her the better life, the best life ever, and you promised to take her to the kingdom of heaven. So our promises, we should add like the word whatever happens. I promise to love you whatever happens. I promise to care for you whatever. This whatever is not easy. Whatever you change, whatever circumstances change, whatever people say, whatever I fail, but I promise to keep the love up for my life. Love forever. This applies on St. Paul saying, love never ends. This is the kind of love which never ends. That you promise eternally, that you care for this person for your whole life and forever if possible. That's why there is no real marriage in heaven, but love never ends. The relationship will never end, but the marital relation concerning the physical relation, money, spending, these things will stop. But the relationship of love will never end. Also, it sets the responsibility, whatever. I'm responsible, whatever. Even I'm responsible on her mistakes, as our Lord did with us. Another sentence, many do not understand this sentence. Even in Arabic, it's not easy. He did not make them, but did he not make them one? Which means, the plan, the project of our Lord is to make Adam and Eve, man and woman, together add one, to get offspring, to get humanity out of this unity covered with love. So this project we destroy by separation, by selfishness, by thinking of myself alone. So God was blaming us, saying, didn't I make you together one? Why you speak this way? Why you shout at each other? Why you think alone? Why you wish for yourself alone? Why you are getting very selfish? Didn't I make you one? Understand the sentence? But did he, God, not make them one? Having a remnant of the Spirit, I think in the original language, it was written, having part of His Spirit. He put His Spirit partially in them to make them one. So He gave them the most precious gift ever given. He gave them His soul, His Holy Spirit, to help them to unite together, to be one. And why one? God is asking, why? Why you think I'm making you together one? He seeks godly offspring. If a man with his wife is living in real Arabi love, and they are living as one, their offspring will be God's sons and daughters, will be saints. Simply. Because they are His. They are His sons and daughters. Because they came out of His Holy Spirit covering the relation. But our kids and children are not really children of God actually, because we do not love each other as God's planned. We do not enjoy the Arabi, the unity. We do not enjoy the cover of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If we do, we will enjoy seeing our offspring better than us and real children of God. So God is aiming not only to the marital relationship, but after the spring, the offspring spring coming will be His children. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Take heed, I guess, means please revise your life, review your relation, go back to the start, ask yourself again, why did I choose this one? Why did I marry her? What was the plan of God of marriage? What was my love to her from the early beginning? And let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. Though there is a secret of the union, there is some taste of heaven in this, you know. I found in some early papers of the liturgy of ceremony of weddings, the old ones we do not use now in our ceremony, this exact term, that let them, God, enjoy the taste of heaven by knowing each other. So the church believes that if they succeed in loving each other in the way God planned, they will taste the beauty and the peace, the joy, the pure love of heaven on earth. So they will be fixed as members in kingdom of heaven from now. Also, it's well covered by the work of the Holy Spirit. So having a remnant of the Spirit, it's important to stay under cover of the Holy Spirit. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, be filled with the Spirit. This will help you to enjoy your marriage. Also in Galatians, it was written, walk in the Spirit. Also written, do not quench the Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit is a real share in our life, is always our guest home, He will guide the relation to enjoy it by filling us with happiness, peace, love, and every good thing. Seeking a godly offspring, so the kids are the fruits of the womb, is a gift. It's a gift. And you know, again we say, if the couple did not get any children, the unity itself is the goal. They still enjoy the happiness and the joy and the love of God. So with or without kids, they still members in the kingdom of heaven, because they themselves are children of God. So they will enjoy their relationship with God. Also, they can get spiritual children. I have seen many couples who God did not give them children, but they have hundreds of children loved by them spiritually. And they help them to develop in very nice God's relation. Lastly, we should seek the spiritual gifts in our marital relationship. It ended with, therefore take heed to your spirit. So please revise your relationship. Also it's written, for the Lord hates divorce. The Lord hates divorce. This is God's rule. God do not like divorce. That's why when Jews came to our Lord Jesus Christ asking about divorce, He said this was not from the first beginning. When I created man and Eve, I created one man and one Eve and one marital relationship. I did not speak about separation. So what I'm making together as one, no man can break or stand against me. So this is God's plan. That's what written in Matthew 19. Also, it covers one's garment with violence, means that we may justify our separations. She is not helping me. She is not pleasing me anymore. She is sick. She is stubborn. She is so and so. You are justifying the separation, but this will not convince our Lord. Also, there is kind of projection, because you do not love anymore. She is not loving me, but you lose your life. You lost your love. So do not project your faults on your partner. Also, the kind of denial. What did I do? What did I do? I can't do anything. I'm helpless. This relation is hopeless. No, you deny your sin. It's against God's will. Lastly, I hope lastly, you have wearied the Lord with your words. This is written in Malachi chapter 2, sentence 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, in what way have we wearied Him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. Like saying, everybody do this and that. Divorce everywhere. What happens? So what? So what? We cannot live together. This is the kind of words we are hearing all the time. But this is not God's words. So, You have wearied the Lord with your words. So avoid comparisons. Don't look around. Please look to God and His will. Accept and be grateful the gift God gave you. And lastly, don't look back, but look forward to take the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for listening. Any comments? Yeah.
Establish needs sometimes is very relevant. If one partner has a relationship outside.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Actually, you know, Abuna, as men of God, we are following God's steps. So, our Lord invited us in peace. This is the word of God. So even with betrayal, the party went out and have bad relation with somebody away from his wife. We try to help him to repent, and we are trying with the wife to accept him in the start. If he couldn't repent, if he refused to repent, or she cannot take it, we have to follow the rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. This marital relation is stopped because he broke it, and he will pay the debt before God. Yet, if he refused to repent, his heart. No, I want to consider the wife whom she cannot take it over her nerves after knowing that he betrayed her. I cannot say that her heart is like a stone. No, she cannot take it and God will let her free. But we ask her to forgive. We try her to forgive. If she can take the position of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and she forgives such a big sin, such a big insult, and she can forget it, so they can live happily after, we will encourage her in this. And this actually happens. But if she cannot, we give some time and then we let her go away. Right? Okay. Yeah, according to the rules of the church, if he had this kind of psychological disturbance before marriage and the partner did not know this, he was not honest from the start. So this kind of relation started by cheating. So the church can break this relation and will not consider this a real marriage, as if they were not married, because it started by cheating. But if he developed some disease after the relation, and anybody can get some sickness, no, we will try with the partner to endure the problem and take the trial and help with the cross and live together, because we are aiming at kingdom of heaven, not kingdom of earth. So it depends, was he cheating here before marriage, or he is getting some problems or some sickness after, which could happen to anybody. If it is intolerable, we as church will help her to tolerate it, even with kind of spacing. So we can put boundaries between the two. You know, in some psychological disturbance, there is some danger on living together. So church and the mother cannot leave them live together. They may kill each other. So we can make some kind of spacing. We will not consider it as break of the marital relation, kind of separation. Yes, sir. Sorry. The mentally ill usually discover before marriage. Or, no, some kinds of mental illness, as paranoid schizophrenics, they can cover their illness, but they are really psychotic, which not easily live with. So many of them went to psychiatrists and have treatment for many years, and they never tell anybody. So in this case, he was not honest with his partner from the early beginning. So if we prove that she did not know that her husband had so and so, it's her right, as if she were not married. It applies on many other things, that if this guy had problem with the government and he was supposed to be imprisoned and he had judge's sentences, so, and she didn't know, this is another reason we can break this relation. Any more comments or questions? No, let's put it this. All the Bible teachings are ideal, but we are not living all what God said, but we are trying to live it. In the Bible, our Lord said, better to pray all time We do not pray all time, but we wish to pray all the time. St. Paul said, be joyful in the Lord all the time. We are not joyful in the Lord all the time, but we wish and pray to be joyful in the Lord all the time. So putting the standards, the ideal in front of our eyes, will push us to this level with the Holy Spirit power. So we are not saying we are this, we are living this standard. No, not yet. But we wish to live the standards God gave us. Okay? Any more comments? Or how would the church treat some of her sons or daughters coming into a relation with a non-believer? The church as a mother will advise this guy, you are leaving God's hand. You are leaving the kingdom of heaven. You are getting into a wrong way. You are cheating yourself if you believe that you can keep both relations with God and with a non-believer in this kind of intimacy. You are destroying God's plan for you. So we as church and mother try to convince our kids in this. But if he went in his way, leaving all what we said, actually we consider as if he left the church. He is not supposed to have any sharing in the church, like communion, like serving, not anymore. We will keep loving him, we will keep praying for him, but we will not let him share in our sacred relationship with God, because he left it. And it's our right to say, not anymore. Live such life and return back to God so we can accept you as a member and enjoy the relationship back to God. Another point, how about the offspring, the kids? Usually in our culture, you know, the kids will follow the religion of the father. So if the father is not Christian, they will be not Christian. And in this case, this girl or this woman had sinned towards God and towards her kids, because they pushed them into a bad one or away from God. So this is a real problem, and we cannot help it at a time. If it happens outside Egypt, actually, if the woman wants to baptize her children, we have a problem here. Who will upbring these kids? Who will teach them Christianity if she left Christianity? Does she believe in God as before? How can they enjoy communion in the church and their mother or whatever, their father, left the church? So we wish to baptize the kids, but we have a problem. If there is kind of agreement that he or she will teach them Christianity, and she is repenting but she could never change the position now, the situation now, we may baptize these kids and we follow them up with the guidance of father or mother who repent and return back to Christianity in a way or another. Not to lose this kid. Okay? Yes, Abuna. Yes.
Someone converted to Christianity,
got married,
and after marriage, they came back to their original.
Okay. The same, Abuna. Somebody converted from whatever to Christianity, and he married some girl from our church. Okay. If he converted back to his faith, exactly as we consider him as leaving hands God, leaving the kingdom of heaven, leaving the church. So, in this case, we will look carefully to the situation of our daughter, because when she married him, he was Christian. So, we separate the relation, because this is considered marrying other God. So we consider it exactly as betrayal, because he betrayed his God and betrayed his wife by leaving God. And we let go, her kids will be baptized and she will follow them in the church, and we will break the relation if they accept. Thank you again.